If I were to ask you whether Jesus was likely to lose an argument, what would you say? It's an odd question because we're not accustomed to thinking of Jesus losing anything, other than perhaps his temper when he overturned the tables in the temple or when he cursed a fig tree. In most of the gospel stories, throughout his ministry of teaching and healing, with the Jews in the regions of Galilee and Judea, as well as with Gentiles in areas like Samaria, Jesus was the one in charge, the one with authority, the one who questioned Jewish leaders and quoted scripture to support his points, the one who asked challenging questions that his listeners could not answer. It's hard to imagine Jesus losing an argument. And yet, in the first part of the scripture Flo just read for us, it sounds like that's exactly what happened. This story told of an encounter between Jesus and a woman who asked him to heal her daughter. Jesus initially refused, using less than kind language. And yet the woman offered a counterargument that Jesus accepted. It's an unusual exchange, unlike almost any other story in the New Testament, one that has left many scholars scratching their heads trying to explain it. And yet this story, along with the second one about the healing of the deaf man, is more complex than it first seems and has some important lessons to teach us about persistence, about acceptance, and about listening. So let's take a closer look. This story appears in the 7th chapter of Mark's gospel, near the end of the section describing the teaching, preaching, and healing ministry of Jesus before he came to Jerusalem. During his travels from village to village, Jesus had become well known among the Jews, especially for his ability to heal. As word spread, he was in great demand and was surrounded by throngs of people asking for his healing touch everywhere he went. The gospel writer does not describe how Jesus felt about this attention, but it's not hard to believe that he was both excited because so many people were experiencing God's good news, and also a little exhausted and overwhelmed by the increasing demands of so many people. By the time today's story began, Jesus had already fed the 5,000, walked on water, challenged the Pharisees by declaring all foods clean, and touched and healed dozens of people in villages and cities he passed through, all in a short period of time. So Jesus went away, out of the Jewish villages, into the region of Tyre, located in what is now Lebanon. Tyre was a relatively large, bustling city populated by Gentiles, or non-Jewish people. He arrived at a house in Tyre and slipped quietly inside, hoping nobody would notice him or know who he was. Unfortunately for Jesus, the news of his amazing ability to heal the sick and cast out demons had preceded him to Tyre. And before he could even lie down and rest, a woman knocked on the door of the house where he was staying. We don't know a lot about this woman, except that she was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin, meaning she was from some part of the ancient regions of Syria and Phoenicia. We do know that seeking out Jesus was not a usual move for a woman at this time. The society Jesus lived in was patriarchal, with roles of men and women strictly separated. Women did not usually speak to men they did not know, and definitely did not approach a Jewish rabbi. And yet this woman did exactly that. She arrived at the place where Jesus was staying, bowed down to show him respect, and asked him to heal her little daughter, whose body was infected with an unclean spirit. It was a bold request, made out of a deep love for her child and a desperate need to get help, and faith in the story she had heard about this rabbi who healed people. She was willing to try anything. This was far from the first time Jesus had been asked to heal someone. In fact, it was a request he received and granted many times a day in most of his travels. But this time, Jesus did not immediately help the woman out. Quite the opposite, in fact. Jesus spoke sharply to the woman, telling her, in essence, that she needed to wait her turn. Scholars and preachers over the years have tried to explain why Jesus responded to her in this way. Maybe he was making a theological point that the Gentiles would receive the kingdom of God only after the Jews did, which was a common belief. Maybe he was trying to joke with her. Maybe he was just exhausted and spoke without thinking. But there's really no way to sugarcoat it. In response to this woman's desperate request for help, he compared her to a dog. This was definitely an unflattering comparison. Dogs in ancient Israel were not pampered house pets. They were semi-feral scavengers who ate the food that the Jews considered unclean. The term dog was a well-known and unfortunately often used slur against Gentiles. So it's shocking to hear it coming from the mouth of Jesus. And yet, according to this scripture, that's what he said. And in that moment, in that one response, Jesus rejected and othered the woman who came to him for help. If you're like me, you may have grown up with an image of Jesus as a sweet, gentle man who always treated everyone with kindness and spread love wherever he went. But it's important to remember that Jesus did not live a life full of rainbows and unicorns. He was human, with human emotions and human biases. And he was not always sweet and gentle in his interactions with others. His radical message of hospitality and grace and compassion was in direct opposition to the ideas and practices of Jewish leaders of the day. Yes, he treated with compassion people whom others believed to be outcasts, those with physical and mental illnesses, those who were poor or unhoused, those who were rejected by their families and communities. But he also questioned those in authority in the temple, regularly broke religious rules, and sometimes spoke sharply to those who did not embrace the message of radical love and social change that he brought. There's also some more social and political context that may explain why Jesus did not embrace the Syrophoenician woman's request when she approached him. The area where she lived was a fairly large city for the time, full of wealthy Gentiles who had benefited from the labor of poor Jewish farmers. The woman may have been a wealthy and powerful woman in the city, using her privilege to enter boldly and without invitation into the house where Jesus had retreated to take a break from the suffocating crowds around him. It's possible Jesus may have been confronting her privilege, saying, in essence, "It's not right to take the poor Jewish people's food and throw it to the rich Gentiles in the cities." What seemed like a hostile retort to a simple request for healing, the kind Jesus had granted so many times before, may have actually been a political statement about unequal distribution of wealth and power. And also remember that Jews at this time understood themselves to be God's chosen people. They believed that God's salvation of the world would begin by blessing the Jews, and eventually extend to the entire world at a great universal banquet with food and fellowship for all. Jesus, who was raised in this Jewish way of thinking, may have been telling the woman to wait her turn and stay in her lane, that she and the other Gentiles would be blessed once the Jews had received their blessings and their healing. In any case, the Syrophoenician woman was undeterred. She had a singular purpose, to find healing for her suffering child. Those of you who have had a child who's sick will understand. She was desperate and did not plan to give up. She refused to be placed in a victim's role. She spoke up boldly on behalf of her child, and she refused to take no for an answer. Instead, she turned the image of children and dogs upside down by protesting that even dogs were allowed to eat the crumbs that the children dropped while they were eating. And Jesus listened, really listened to what she had to say, and granted healing to her daughter based on what the woman was bold enough to say out loud, that God's grace and mercy should be extended to her daughter as well. As I said, it's a story unlike any other in the Gospels, with some unexpected twists. And yet there are some useful points we can take from this story about persistence, about how we treat others, and about truly listening in difficult conversations. All of these points can help us as we work to build up the kingdom of God. The first key point is that persistence can pay off. Following Jesus requires persistence, even when the work is challenging. We live in a world that encourages us to seek immediate gratification and to quit when we get bored or tired of learning new things. Monsignor Jamie Gigantiello, pastor of Our Lady of Mount Carmel Annunciation Parish in Brooklyn, shared a story of a 5-year-old girl who was playing soccer for the first time. She went to every practice, had her parents buy all the gear, and talked enthusiastically about what she was learning from her coach and how much fun soccer was. At the end of the season, she received a participation trophy. When her dad went to sign her up for soccer again the next season, she didn't want to do it. When he asked why, she explained that she already knew how to play soccer. She had a trophy to prove it, and she didn't need to practice anymore. How often do we look for recognition, even when the work is not done, and we have so much more to learn? How often do we give up and assume there's nothing more we can do when we encounter opposition to our ideas and plans? How much more effective could we be in spreading the good news if we persisted, even when being a Christian is challenging? Let us strive to be more like the Syrophoenician woman who made the effort, who made the argument, who didn't give up when Jesus rebuffed her, and who made such a powerful case that Jesus himself granted her request. This is also a powerful story about how we treat people who are different. Even Jesus, in the beginning of the story, made the mistake of stigmatizing the woman who came to him for help because she was a Gentile. This week at work, I completed a training on stigma and was reminded how important our language, attitudes, policies, and practices are. The ways we talk to and about people with physical illnesses, with mental health challenges, and with substance use disorders can perpetuate stereotypes and encourage discrimination against those seeking help. There are real barriers that divide us from people who are different from us, and we are more likely to identify and break them down when we have real, authentic opportunities to get to know others on a personal level. Have you ever considered coming to church on a Saturday and meeting some of the members of the Moriah Church who worship in our space? Could you spare some time to visit with the families who are part of the YMCA program, even if your Spanish is rusty? It is by pushing ourselves beyond the cozy boundaries of what's familiar and truly getting to know others that our eyes may be opened and our perspectives changed. After all, even Jesus changed his way of thinking about the Syrophoenician woman and her daughter after a conversation in which she proved herself intelligent, clever, and tenacious. And this leads to perhaps the most important point that we can take from this story, the importance of listening. I've said this before. We tend to live our lives in echo chambers, especially in a world where social media is so prominent. We surround ourselves with others who think and believe exactly the same way we do, so that when we talk about important issues, we only hear voices of other people with very similar ideas. We all do it, women, men, Democrats, Republicans, independents. And yet, in this story, Jesus gave us a model of listening, truly listening, and being open to a different perspective. When the woman made the argument about why her daughter deserved to receive God's grace through the healing of Jesus, Jesus stopped and listened. He didn't just dismiss her, he didn't interrupt, and he didn't spend the time she was talking coming up with counter-arguments. We're living in a turbulent and challenging political environment these days, and I feel sure that all of us gathered here do not agree on everything. It is not my role to speak from the pulpit and tell you what you should believe about the issues raised by our politicians. That's something you need to decide for yourself. But what is my role and Teresa's role is to urge you to follow the example that Jesus gave us in this story and take time to listen. There are times when we each need to pay attention, to genuinely listen, because we may discover that another person's idea or argument has merit, even if it doesn't match ours. And like Jesus, we may change our perspective when we learn more from others. Listening and learning from each other is important for little issues, like whether the cabinets in our renovated kitchen should be white or gray, and especially for big issues that affect our entire nation and world. Not one of us has all of the right answers. And people who believe they do usually have not taken the time to challenge themselves by listening to opposing ideas. This week, I urge you to find opportunities to step back and really listen, especially to someone you don't agree with. What is that person truly saying? How do your ideas and attitudes about that person influence what you hear? Where are the person's ideas different from yours? Where do they overlap? And where might you find even a tiny amount of common ground? Because when we truly listen to each other, without judgment and without an agenda, we may find that we have more in common than we thought. So as we go out into the world today, and as we move through the coming week, may we take two things with us from the example of Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman: the boldness to speak out and to persist, as the woman did, and the compassion to listen, genuinely listen, as Jesus did. Amen.